Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, that you would fill us and you would guide my words and our ears and our hearts to understand what you're saying to us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, yeah. Several people actually in TCF have asked for this series independently of each other, not knowing that we've already planned to do it. So that's good, isn't it? That's a real confirmation that you're on the right track when you get this independent kind of thing. We believe that a mighty move of God is close in our borough and in our nation. And so we need to be practiced in these gifts of the Holy Spirit to maximize the way the kingdom of God expands into the lives of those around us. Obviously, for those new to this, God is three persons. He's one God. Very important, he's one. There's not three gods, there's one God. He's three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they all work together because they're one, even though they're three. That's clear there, isn't it? but we're talking, one of the Holy Spirit's role is this particular one we're going to read about and talk about today. So first of all, let's have some relevant Bible passages that talk about this. And I did put this on the post for you to start reading through. So this is in 1 Corinthians 12. It kind of goes through to 1 to 11, but I'll miss out some verses for quickness. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but all of them in everyone is the same God at work. Notice the color coding there. Now, to each one of us, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. Woohoo! To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. Heard that today. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. We heard that today. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized into one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And then there's a list of gifts in there, which I'll skip at the moment. Eagerly desire the greater gifts, it says, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. And then I'm just going to skip to another range of gifts, this time in Romans. That's another passage as I suggested we read over this next month or two. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, heard that one before, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, give encouragement. If it's giving, give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And there's a final list of not so much gifts, but people with gifts. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Well, quite a lot there, but it's, I don't apologize for having a lot of the Word of God. It feeds our souls, doesn't it? Anyway, unity, first of all, is the point. Now, what's the point of all these gifts of the Spirit given to different people? Number one, unity is the point. Okay, this is what the Word of God says. Jesus will only turn for a united bride. That's his church. The bride of Christ is the church. And we're part of that. So Jesus is only going to return for a united bride, not a bride that's kind of all over the place. And unity is very powerful, isn't it? Unity is beautiful. When something is working together, it's powerful, it's beautiful. And obviously the opposite is true. Disunity is ugly. So Jesus wants unity in his church. And we think of sort of everyday illustrations in this, you know, what makes something powerful. If you've got a cricket team and they're all working together and all bringing their specialist skills to it, it's a good cricket team. But if they're all doing their own thing and not really working for the team, it doesn't work and they lose, don't they? An orchestra, they're all playing their own instrument, you know, in time with the conductor, they're working together as a team. That's a great orchestra. But, well, you know, an example of an orchestra not doing that is when you hear an orchestra tuning up. Because at that point, they're all doing their own thing, aren't they? They're just getting their instrument warmed up, and it sounds like an absolute din. It's like, you're like, I can't listen to that much longer. You know, it sounds like an orchestra tuning up, and it is. But when the orchestra plays together with the conductor, it's acting in unity. And then obviously the army, you know, you've got different divisions and different types of things, artillery, you've got tanks, you've got foot soldiers, I guess you've got airplanes, you've got all sorts of stuff. And if they're coordinated, it's a powerful unit. If not, then it's just chaos and it's not effective. So unity is really, really important in our everyday world, but it's also very important in the church. Jesus prayed for our unity. Did you know that? In John 17, 22 to 23, he says, I've given them, that's us, the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. And then the world will know that you've sent me and have loved them, even as you've loved me. So us being united is a sign to the world that Jesus is real. So the job of the Holy Spirit is to unite the body of Christ, that's us, the church. We are already, as Jesus has prayed, we're already united in the sense in our spirit, but we have to make it happen on earth. This is an example of bringing heaven to earth. It's already done in heaven. We need to bring unity to earth. So that's really the first thing. Unity is the main point of what these gifts of the Spirit is doing. And then we have equal value. God places equal value on every Christian believer. And there's a couple of passages there. I'll just read the first one. And it says in Galatians 3, 26, 27, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. All of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Jesus Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So it's not saying there's no such thing as male and female, or no such thing as slave or free, but what it says is, it doesn't matter. The important thing is you're a Christian, that you're in Christ. Our differences don't make any difference to God when he looks upon our value. Our value is nothing to do with whether we're male or female, whether we're slave or free, whether we're employed or unemployed, whether we're whatever our ethnic origins. It makes no difference at all. We are of equal value to God as individuals. And then God doesn't have any favoritism either. That's really important for us to grasp that. God doesn't have favorites. Peter said this in Acts 10, God does not show favoritism, but he accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. Okay, so you don't have a special privilege because you're British or Nigerian or whoever else. It doesn't matter where you come from. What matters actually is where you're going. And in Christ, God doesn't show favoritism. So how does this kind of thing then, why the gifts of the Spirit? How do they work? Okay. We can celebrate then and emphasize our differences, our diversity, without being misunderstood. Gillian is different from everyone else. And everyone else is different from everyone else. Okay? And we don't want to be resentful because Gillian isn't like me. Or I'm not like Karen. Or Karen's not, you know, it's like that. Our differences should not be something which make us kind of resentful or, you know, think it's weird. So we need to celebrate those differences. Okay? Every spiritual gift that we're talking about, you know, over the next 4 months, it's interesting, it produces interdependence. Now, what I mean by that is, unless you can do everything in the world, you know, what are you going to do if your boiler suddenly gives up the ghost? You're going to call a plumber, who's a gas fitter, who's qualified in that. You rely on that gas fitter. Or if something else happens, you know, the electric stuff in your house goes wrong, you're going to call an electrician. Unless you're a qualified electrician yourself, that's fine. But you're going to rely on someone else to help you out. So that principle applies to us. Not everyone here has got all the same spiritual gifts. It'd be boring if it was. We all have different gifts. And so, let's say, you know, if Gillian has a prophetic gift, you're over there, shouldn't have sat over there. If Gillian has a prophetic gift and some of us don't particularly, then we're actually relying on Gillian to bring some prophetic input in a way that some of us can't, you know, or teaching, or, you know, any of the other gifts, bringing a message in tongues from the front, like Anita did. We can't all do that. So we're relying on Anita. So these differences actually act like glue. They draw us together. We need each other. We depend on each other. And you probably notice in everyday life, people who are fiercely independent and don't seem to need anyone, they normally struggle to form meaningful relationships, don't they? They're very self-contained, no one can get near them, and they can't form relationships. But if you actually show you need people and you respect what they can bring into your life and you can bring something into their life, that's the basis of a great relationship, and it draws you together. So specialists, they don't just make us more powerful, they pull us together as well. It's a kind of a God-given gravity field, really. It pulls us together. And a team, you know, I don't know what you follow, cricket, football, whatever, but a team with different specialisms is so much stronger. You know, what would Ipswich Town be like if they're all goalkeepers? They wouldn't actually be that successful. They might keep a few shots out, but they're only ones allowed to at a time. But it wouldn't be a balanced team. You need a balanced team with specialisms all over them. Yes? Your specialism. You're special. So the gifts of the Spirit give us specialism. And that's how God does this in the body of Christ. Our diversity, our different gifts, pull us together and they make us stronger. So that's why he did that. He doesn't give everyone all the gifts. And so we have to rely on each other. But before we look at the individual gifts, of course, what's the greatest gift? The greatest gift is the giver himself. There's a wonderful little passage in Acts 1, and this is Jesus, just before he went back into heaven. It said he was eating with them and he gave them this command. Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that's known as the gift of God. And we all get that. If you're a Christian, you all receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let's not forget that. In all looking at different gifts and things like that, the big gift, the really big gift, is the giver himself. And he's given to all of us. He's the one that we all need. You know, and sometimes, and that shows, Sometimes you're out there in a cafe or whatever, or you're talking to someone, and they go, "There's something about you that something that I want that as well. I want that stuff." And that's because the giver of the gift is inside us. But anyway, so moving on, these spiritual gifts, these tools, are called charismata, if you want to be a little bit Greek, because the Bible was written in Greek, grace gifts. And they're found in several places, and I've read out a load already. Won't read them again for a minute. But they're given by the Spirit of God through each of us. We're like the channels through which that river flows that John mentioned earlier on. Think of a gift like a river. It's not, if I receive a gift of prophecy, it's not just for me, it's for other people. So I speak it out. So it's like a river flowing through me. So it's not just a gift for me, it's a gift for me to pass on to other people in the church or maybe outside of the church. So we need to think of ourselves as channels of grace and not just the final recipient of that grace. You see what I mean? And each person of us, because of the gifts we get and the way God's made us, each one of us is unique. No one has everything. So every one of us is vital to the church. And then when we get to that thing, you might have heard of the term ministries as well as gifts, haven't you? Okay. So a ministry is not a spiritual gift. It's a person. A ministry is a person who is called by Jesus, who is devoted to God, who has a vision and perhaps a collection of gifts from the Holy Spirit. Just as a skilled tradesman would have a tool bag with a load of tools in. This tradesman has certain tools that he or she uses in the course of their role. So people who have a ministry will have a selection of gifts that they're more adept at using. Okay, and so, but the tradesman themselves, the person, the ministry, is a gift to the church. You see what I mean? So I've got a little picture here to illustrate this. A workman's tools. Everything in that box there, I mean, Peter at the back on the desk will recognize pretty much all these tools because they're plumbing tools. You know, you've got a wrench, a basin wrench, a mole grips, you've got a drain camera, loads of things there. They're pretty much plumbing tools. And in your tool bag or your toolkit, you'll have most of those if you're a plumber. Hard to do the plumber's job properly without them, okay? No matter how skilled you are, how committed you are as a person, and the same applies in the church to spiritual gifts and ministries. And of course, you may not be a plumber. You may have that lot. Who's that, you think? Yeah, you can see that, the saw and all those other things. You're a carpenter. Now, if I gave Peter the stuff in the red box and say, "Can you replumb my bathroom, please?" He'd be a bit stuck, wouldn't he? He'd smash it up all right, yeah. But he wouldn't be able to replumb it very easily because he hasn't got the right tools. The way round, you know. A carpenter with plumbing tools would struggle. Okay, if you haven't got the right tools, the right spiritual gifts, you can't do the job properly, no matter how committed you are as a person. Now, so here's an example then. Someone who serves as a prophet, you may have in your toolbox, well, I guess prophecy, but what about perhaps you've got message of knowledge, perhaps you've got discernment of spirits in your toolbox, because you probably need more than one thing to be a powerful, effective prophet. And other ministries will have other collections of gifts that God has given you to help you do your job, your ministry, effectively. And yes, okay, we can all use these tools from time to time. And actually, God encourages us to do that. He goes, "I'd like you all to prophesy." But that doesn't mean we're all prophets. We should all prophesy, but it doesn't mean we're all prophets. To become a specialist, think how it works here with these. You have to learn to use the tools properly. You know, a carpenter practices, you know, cutting things properly and squarely and doing all that. A plumber practices making joints that don't leak the first time or the second time. You have to use the tools and learn to use the tools. And of course, more than that, a plumber's committed their whole career to doing that job. So similarly with us, in a ministry in the church, we're committing ourselves. I want to serve Jesus in this way. So I'll learn to use those tools that he's given me, those gifts of the Spirit, in that way, consistently. So that's really important. There is one thing, whatever tools you've got, there is one thing that we do need to remember. And that's what does the Bible say about how we use them? Well, just a few snippets here from 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 and a bit 14. Eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I'll show you the most excellent way. That's the end of chapter 12. What's this most excellent way? And then Paul goes into chapter 13. I won't read all of those things, but it's saying, if I prophesy or speak in tongues or do whatever, and have faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, it ain't going to work. You know, if I'm not mature in the way I use these gifts, I'm not doing it in a selfless way, then it's just going to be dangerous. We have to use these gifts in a loving way. And that's why 1 Corinthians 13 is there, actually. It's in between. Did you notice that 1 Corinthians 13 is in between 12 and 14? Isn't that a coincidence? I mean, really? But it's there because it's saying, this is how you should exercise your gifts and ministries. This is how you should do it, in a loving way, caring for others, not doing it for your own pride, not doing it for your own benefit or to big yourself up. It's for the sake of others. But we are to desire spiritual gifts. So doing it in a loving way is the way. The only way is love. Not the only way is Essex. The only way is love, okay? Love is not an alternative. It's the way in which we exercise the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You wouldn't give an electric drill or a circular saw to a five-year-old, would you? Because they're not, they'd either hurt themselves or they'd hurt you. They're not mature enough to use that device themselves. You know, it's quite fun to think of giving your grandchild a circular saw, but probably you get told off by their parent. because they're not mature enough. And it's the same with us. We need a sort of a maturity in terms of our character and lovingness to use these spiritual gifts powerfully, or else we will actually do damage with them. They're so powerful because of what God's doing in us that they can do damage if you use them wrongly or unlovingly. So, let's use these gifts in an attitude of love and have respect for one another. It's not a competition. It's like, I'm going to prophesy better than John. It's not a competition. We're working together. It's we're adding together. I don't mind, in a way, and I've said this for ages, I don't mind who says something from God in the church as long as it's said. That's the key thing. It gets said. And if someone else says it from the front, not me, that's all right. That's really fine, as long as God said it. That's really the key thing. The other thing is, these gifts will not last forever. 1 Corinthians 13 says that. Okay, these gifts help us on the journey, but they are only love is the destination. Okay, so the gifts can get you there on your journey, get you there faster, but only love is the destination. So let's keep that in perspective. Okay, love will carry on. So there's going to be a lot of people talking about these gifts over the next 3 or 4 months, most Sundays. But I thought, let's just give you a quick overview. I won't tell about each one, but a quick overview. In 1 Corinthians 12, there are gifts of revelation, which is kind of in our thoughts. You don't even have to speak them out. One called a message of wisdom, one called a message of knowledge, one called distinguishing between spirits. You might choose to speak them out, but you don't have to. You receive the gift if it comes into your head. That's happened. You know, that's the gift. What you do with it, actually you need wisdom to decide what you're going to do with it. Of course, we all have wisdom, and Judith will be talking about this next week, so I won't jump on her topic. But of course, we should all have wisdom, but this is something over and above. So just bear that in mind. Then there are gifts of declaration, and we have actually, I think, heard all three today in our meeting, haven't we? We've had tongues. We've had an interpretation of tongues. Judith did that. So Anita brought tongues. Judith brought an interpretation of tongues, and we've had some prophecy somewhere or other as well. God speaking to us through a person. Then there are gifts of power. Wah. Actions, miracles, healings, faith. And again, we all have faith, but this is over and above. This is faith turbocharged, something way beyond normal saving faith. All of these are quite kind of supernaturally, aren't they? They know they're miraculous even. These are impossible to do, really, if you're not a believer. So there's some of those. And then the gifts in Romans, they're a bit different, actually. I don't know if you get the impression, but if you look at that list, only prophecy appears in both lists, and they are kind of things that non-Christian people can do to some extent. You know, you get a bit of leadership in the world, don't you? You can be encouraged by anyone, you teaching and things. And some of us are teachers in education, in the education system. So these kind of have a bit more overlap here, but the real boost comes from the Holy Spirit. So this is to deliver these gifts in the way God wants them delivered in the church is something over and above what somebody in the world could or would do. And then the final list I read out earlier on, these are more people. These are God's tradesmen, amongst others, with a toolbox of gifts: apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds or pastors, and teachers. These are people who serve, and they have a toolbox of gifts. So we all of these things we must administer in love. But if you ever watched Today in Parliament, whatever, something on television. Order! Order! Have you heard the man from the front? Order! If everyone's talking at once in Parliament, no one can be heard. It doesn't make sense. So even with the gifts of the Spirit, and again, I won't read that out. You can read it over my shoulder there. But it's basically saying, that's great. When you come together, let's have lots of gifts of the Spirit. Every time you come on a Sunday, you know, let's have lots of gifts of the Spirit. But let's not all have them at the same point in time. And that's why we have, I mean, John was overseeing today. That's why we have an overseer, just to kind of get these into a nice order, to make sure it's orderly, so that everyone understands everything all the time. Otherwise, it just becomes chaos, doesn't it? So 1 Corinthians 14, which is where this comes from, it does focus specifically on tongues and interpretation and prophecy and things, but it's applying to all of the gifts. And of course, when we do come together on a Sunday, one of the main things we gather together for is to share the gifts of the Spirit. It's not just for a worship time on the screen there. It's not just for teaching like this. It's a time for us to share the gifts of the Spirit, to share prophecy, word of knowledge and stuff. So come along prepared. Saturday night perhaps is, or Saturday evening is perhaps a key time. You know, you can think, okay, what's the Holy Spirit giving me to share tomorrow at church? Really important. Just as I had to prepare yesterday and then the week for preaching, we all need to prepare. Like, what's God going to be saying through me tomorrow? Now, I long for the day when there's going to be such an amazing outpouring of God's grace gifts that disorderliness becomes even a possibility. You know, I look forward to that. You know, we're going to have so many prophecies, so many healings, the odd miracle or two in the meeting, that the overseer is going to have to work hard to make. I mean, I'm actually looking forward to that day. That would be really good to have the overseer overworked. So let's work towards that. Nevertheless, let the leaders worry about orderliness in our meetings. You just come ready to give, and, you know, ready to bless God and to build up the body of Christ. So then, in my executive summary, I'm just saying what I've said. Jesus seeks a united bride. He's seeking his complete church. That's us. We are all of equal value to him. There are no favourites. Differences are a strength, and we should treasure that, each other. We've all received the Holy Spirit as a gift, and he chooses to shine his diverse gifts through each one of us. Amazing. We ourselves, as people in ministries, are gifts to the church. We're gifts to each other. We're here to serve each other using those spiritual gifts. We should aim to exercise these gifts in a loving, Christ-like way, though. Not in a big-headed or, you know, I'm here to big me up way. We should eagerly desire. It's not something like, oh, that's for others, going, oh, I'll just sit here. We should all eagerly desire to exercise some of these supernatural gifts and to develop them. And over the next 3 or 4 months, we are going to look at one or two of these gifts each week this term and encourage people, you know, is that perhaps a gift God's giving you? Or is that a gift you want? You know, I mean, we're getting near Christmas, nearly. I'm sure, you know, someone said to you, what do you want for Christmas? Yeah, we don't do Halloween here. We don't do Halloween. But for Christmas, yeah, some you might get a complete surprise, or you might get something you're kind of asking for. You want it. And I believe the Holy Spirit is like that as well. You know, what would you like? You know, would you like to prophesy? Would you like to have to move in words of knowledge and all these things? What, you know, he's our Heavenly Father, God is. So it's like, what would you like, son? I just want us to spend a couple of minutes now, maybe get in twos or threes or just kind of where you are. Let's, first of all, we're talking about not an individual gift, but the giver, the Holy Spirit. He's a gift for everyone. Now, if you've been a Christian a while, hopefully you've been filled with the Holy Spirit already, but the good thing in the Bible is you can be filled again and again and again. So why don't we ask to have a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit today? And if it's the first time, well, God will give us that anyway. Okay? And to be made hungry to use some of these spiritual gifts. So just for a couple of minutes, get yourself in twos or threes, however it's convenient, and just pray for one another to receive the Holy Spirit and to receive some gifts now. In Jesus' name, amen.